Good evening and welcome to Blind Spot on WLUW Independent Radio. Each week, Blind Spot creates a unique live work for radio program, live to radio, exploring the possibilities of radio. This evening, Blind Spot brings you This Day in History, March 26th, a chronological survey of everything of importance which has ever happened on March 26th, which turns out to be pretty much anything of importance which has ever happened. This program was written by Jacob Christopher, Peter Rosenblum, Ben Tischer, Eric S. Humphrey, Brian Taylor, and myself. I'm Phil Von Zweck, and read Jerry Mead of Labor Express. We begin with the Ice Age.
So, quite a while ago, a sort of loose springtime-ish time, probably March, but at any rate, a long while ago, about 9,500 years ago, say, we merged seamlessly into a new age. A very strange light starts leaking off the horizon, changing what must be the sky into a slightly lighter version of the completely dark, dark blue that it's been. And where are the stars? It's like they disappeared for a minute. Can that happen? And then there's these calls. Some sound high-pitched and atonal, kind of aimless. But then there's these others that are really far away, but still loud and pretty terrifying, and low and echoey and guttural. And the sky is streaked with an amazingly prismatic array of orange, light orange, dark green, but mostly still this inky blue, these feathery, unreliable clouds. The ground and the dirt. There's so much dirt around here. There's so many different colors of dirt. There were stories you'd heard of a time when mostly it was just ice and snow, like 80% or something. But that's probably just exaggeration. Here it seems like so many different patches of earth heaped around. Ochres and dark browns and reds and rocky grays. And rocks, actual giant rocks are around here and seem thrown down from the middle of nowhere. The earth is pushed away in these huge slabs and clumps of grasses are peeking through this frosted clay, and parts where it's like a huge half-tunnel carved and pushed out of the way, like a clunky, endless half-pipe scattering its way over the ground. And there's this light breeze in your ears, and this light sort of gusting wind, a small, so tiny trickling sound of water through the mud and rocks, and a creaking and cracking sound. It's sharp, that seems so faint and so present at the same time. An ice age is a period of long-term downturn in the temperature of Earth's climate, resulting in expansion of the continental ice sheets, polar ice sheets, and mountain glaciers. Glaciologically, ice age is used to mean a period of ice sheets in the northern and southern hemispheres, and by this definition, we are still in an ice age. Because the Greenland and Antarctic ice sheets still exist. More colloquially, when speaking of the last few million years, ice age is used to refer to colder periods with extensive ice sheets over the North American and Eurasian continents. In this sense, the last ice age ended about 10,000 years ago, but I'll use the term ice age in the former glaciological sense here. In between ice ages, there are multimillion-year periods of more temperate, almost tropical climate. But within ice ages, or within the last one at least, temperate and severe periods occur. The colder periods are called glacial periods, and the warmer ones are interglacials. We're in an interglacial period now. The first of the three factors that causes ice ages is probably responsible for much of the change, especially the first ice age. The snowball Earth hypothesis maintains that the severe freezing in the late Protozoic was both caused and ended by changes in CO2 levels in the atmosphere. The idea that, in the past, glaciers had been far more extensive was folk knowledge in some alpine regions of Europe. Quoting a woodworker telling Jean de Charpentier of the former extent of the Swiss Grimselk Glacier, no single person invented the idea. But between 1825 and 1833, Charpentier assembled evidence in support of this idea, and in 1936 convinced Louis Agassiz of the theory, and Agassiz published it in his book Study of Glaciers in 1940. But at this early stage of knowledge, what was being studied were the glacial periods within the past few hundred thousand years during the current ice age. The far earlier ice age's very existence was unsuspected.
And now we move to Zoroastrianism.
O Ahura Mazda, most beneficent spirit, maker of the material world, thou Holy One. What of the Holy Word is the strongest? What is the most victorious? What is the most glorious? What is the most effective? What is the most fiend-smiting? What is the best healing? What destroyeth best the malice of Davis and men? What maketh the material world best come to the fulfillment of its wishes? What freeth the material world best from the anxieties of the heart?
Our name, O Spitama Zarathustra, who are the Asha Tamesas, that is the strongest part of the Holy Word. That is the most victorious. That is the most glorious. That is the most effective. That is the most fiend-smiting. That is the best healing. That destroyeth best the malice, the diabolos and men, that maketh the material world best come to the fulfillment of its wishes, that freeth the material world best from the anxieties of the heart.
Reveal unto me that name of thine, O Ahura Mazda. That is the greatest, the best, the fairest, the most effective, the most fiend smiting, the best healing, that destroyeth best the malice of devas and men. That I may afflict all devas and men. That I may afflict all yatus and parikas. That neither devas nor men may be able to afflict me. Neither yatus nor parikas.
My name is the one of whom questions are asked, O holy Zarathustra. My second name is the Herd Giver. My third name is the Strong One. My fourth name is Perfect Holiness. My fifth name is All Good Things Created by Mazda, the offspring of the Holy Principle. My sixth name is Understanding. My seventh name is the One with Understanding. My eighth name is Knowledge. My ninth name is the One with Knowledge. My tenth name is We Are. My 11th name is He Who Produces We Are. My 12th name is Ahura, the Lord. My 13th name is the most beneficent. My 14th name is He in whom there is no harm. My 15th name is the unconquerable one. My 16th name is He who makes the true account. My 17th name is All-Seeing One. My 18th name is the Healing One. My 19th name is the Creator. My 20th name is Mazda, the All-Knowing One. Worship me, O Zarathustra, by day and by night. With offerings of libations well accepted, I will come unto thee for help and joy. I, Ahura Mazda, the good, holy Sharasha, will come unto thee for help and joy. The waters, the plants, the Pharishis of Holy Ones will come unto thee for help and joy.
Blessed is he who is righteous for the sake of righteousness. Blessed is he who is righteous. Righteousness is the best. It is happiness. Happiness comes to the person who is righteous for the sake of righteousness alone. Bless those who believe on this holy day of March 26th, the great Nowruz, as we celebrate the birth of the prophet Zarathustra, the Khordad Sal, the founder of Zoroastrianism. Blessed are those who are born unto the worship of Ahura Mazda, and wicked are those born unto all other faith, for they are the Kavis and the Karpans, the blind and deaf, and can't know anything of God. I praise well thought, well spoken, and well done thoughts, words, and deeds. I embrace all good thoughts, good words, and good deeds. I reject all evil thoughts, evil words, and evil deeds.
We pray to God
to eradicate
all the misery in the world, that understanding triumph over ignorance. That generosity triumph over indifference, that trust triumph over contempt,
and that truth triumph over falsehood. Blessed are those who promote the universal message of equality among all people, truth and justice, and renounce evil, for those are the ones that will be chosen by Ahura Mazda to enter the eternal kingdom of joy. I give sacrifice and prayer unto you, O Amesh Spentus. Even with the fullness of my thoughts, of my words, of my deeds, and of my heart, I give unto you even my own life. May Ahura Mazda be rejoiced by all those who believe. May Angra Mainyu be destroyed by the good deeds of those born Zoroastrian, who truly do the foremost wishes of God.
I am a worshipper of Mazda. I am a Zoroastrian worshipper of Mazda. I praise good thoughts, good works, and good deeds.
I praise the good Mazda-worshipping religion given by Ahura Mazda to Asho Zarathustra, that all religions that have come and are likely to come is the greatest, the best, and most excellent.
In the name of Ahura Mazda, bestower of all good things, the generous spirited and loving, we here revere Ahura Mazda, who created the animals and the grains, who created waters and plants, who created the sky and the earth and the all good things.
The gift of the good mind leads to Ahura Mazda. Ahura Mazda gives authority to ones who protect the oppressed.
I pray for the entire creation, for the generation which is now alive, for that which is just coming to life, for that which shall be hereafter.
Blessed are those that practice purification rituals, are cleansed before entering the fire temple, and pray five times a day. Our fire is the light of God, the divine light of creation, and the light of righteousness.
And I pray for the sanctity which leads to prosperity, which has long afforded shelter, which goes on hand in hand with it, which joins in its walk, and becoming its close companion, bearing every form of healing virtue which comes to us.
And so the greatest and the best and most beautiful benefits of sanctity fall likewise to our lot.
March 26th, the year 922, Al-Halaj, the Persian Sufi teacher and writer, dies. March 26th, 1026, Pope John the 19th crowns Conrad II as the Holy Roman Emperor. March the 26th, 1212, King Sancho I of Portugal dies. March 25th, 1516, Conrad Gessner, the Swiss naturalist, was born. March 26th, 1517, the Flemish composer Heinrich Isaac is born. March 26th, 1546, Thomas Eliot, the English diplomat, is born. March 26th, 1552, Guru Amar Das becomes the third Sikh guru. March 25th, 1554, Charles of Lorraine, Duke of Mayenne, French military leader, is born. March 26th, 1566, the Spanish composer Antonio de Cabazon dies. March the 26th, 1636, Utrecht University is founded. March the 26th, 1679, Johannes Schufrus, the humanist, dies. March the 26th, 1697, Godfrey McCulloch, the Scottish politician and murderer, is executed. March the 26th, 1707, the Act of Union becomes law, making England and Scotland one country. March the 26th, 1726, Sir John Vanbrugh, the English dramatist and architect, dies. March the 26th, 1753.
Happy birthday, Benjamin Thompson, and thank you for your scientific efforts, including your experiments and improvements in explosives and gunpowder, the double boiler heating system, and the drip coffee pot. Thank you for inventing the Rumford soup, which nourished so many homeless Bavarians in 1775, and thank you for cultivating the Bavarian potato. If it wasn't for you, we wouldn't have the baked Alaska, and we would have to eat plain old ice cream instead. And our legs would like to thank you as well. For we would be so much colder if not for your invention of the thermal underwear, also known as Long Johns. Also, although you were very smart and oh so handsome with your long curled white hair, you were wrong about one thing. One time you said that air, water, and all gases are perfect non-conductors of electricity. That's simply not true. But cheer up, Benjamin Thompson. After all, you were very popular with the ladies, and you were knighted in 1784. And we're all very warm right now, thanks to you. Happy birthday, Benjamin Thompson.
March the 26th, 1772, Charles Pinault Duclos, the French writer, dies. March 26th, 1776, Samuel Ward, the American politician, dies. March the 26th, 1780, Charles I, Duke of Brunswick-Lüneburg, dies. March 26th, 1793, John Mudge, the English physician and inventor, dies. March 26th, 1808, Charles IV of Spain abdicates in favor of his son, Ferdinand VII. March 26th, 1812, an earthquake destroys Caracas, Venezuela. March 26th, 1814, Joseph Ignace Guillotine, French inventor of the guillotine, dies. March the 26th, 1827, German composer Ludwig von Beethoven dies. March the 26th, 1839, the first Henley Royal Regatta is held. March the 26th, 1859.
Alfred Edward Hausmann, born in Worcestershire, The only thing I know about him at all is this one chunk of poetry titled, Terrence, This Is Stupid Stuff. Terrence, this is stupid stuff. You eat your victuals fast enough. There can't be much amiss, 'tis clear, to see the rate you drink your beer. But oh, good Lord, the verse you make, it gives a chap the bellyache. The cow, the old cow, she's dead. It sleeps well, the horned head. We poor lads, 'tis our turn now to hear such tunes as killed the cow. Pretty friendship 'tis to rhyme your friends to death before their time. Moping, melancholy, mad, come, pipe a tune to dance to, lad.
March the 26th, 1871.
On March 26th, 1871, the working people of Paris established the first workers' government in history. It has become known since as the Paris Commune. Marx said about the Paris Commune, "The direct antithesis of the French Empire was the Commune. The cry of social republic, which was the February Revolution's ushered in by the Paris proletariat, did but express a vague aspiration after a republic that was not only to supersede the monarchical form of class rule, but class rule itself. It was essentially a working-class government, the product of a struggle of the producing against the appropriating class, the political form at last discovered under which to work out the economical and emancipation of labor. The Commune intended to abolish that class property which makes the labor of many the wealth of the few. It aimed at the expropriation of the expropriators." Bakunin the anarchist said of the Commune, "I am a supporter of the Paris Commune, which for all the bloodletting it suffered at the hands of the monarchical and clerical reaction, has nonetheless grown into more enduring and more powerful in the hearts and minds of Europe's proletariat. I am its supporter above all because it was bold, clearly formulated negation of the state. Paris, inaugurating the new era of the definitive and complete emancipation of the masses, their real solidarity across state frontiers, Paris destroying nationalism and erecting the religion of humanity upon its ruins, Paris proclaiming itself humanitarian and atheist and replacing divine fictions with the great realities of social life, faith and science, replacing the lies and inequities of the old morality with the principles of liberty, justice, equality, and fraternity, those eternal bases of all human morality. There is the true meaning, and these are the immense benefit results of those 2 months which encompass the life and death of the ever-memorable Paris Commune. In spring 1871, the French national leaders, having lost a disastrous and pointless war that they had started, were about to hand over Paris to the Prussians. The working people of Paris, fed up with their incompetent bourgeois leaders, took matters into their own hands. The working women of Paris alerted the population to the treachery of their leaders as they overheard soldiers discussing their plan to abandon the city as they made their morning milk deliveries. The workers of the city elected a militia to disarm the army, take their weapons, and prepare the defense of their own city. In so doing, the workers seized control of Paris and began instituting 2 glorious months of radical social transformation. As Marx stated, the working class cannot simply lay hold of the ready-made state machinery and wield it for its own purposes. The centralized state power, which, with its ubiquitous organs of standing army, police, bureaucracy, clergy, and judiciary, organs wrought after the plan of a systematic and hierarchical division of labor, originates from the days of absolute monarchy. The first degree of the commune, therefore, was the suppression of the standing army and the substitution for it of the armed people. The commune was formed of municipal councillors chosen by universal suffrage in the various wards of the town, responsible and revocable at short terms. The majority of its members were naturally working men or acknowledged representatives of the working class. The commune was to be a working, not a parliamentary body, executive and legislative at the same time. Instead of continuing to be the agent of the central government, the police was at once stripped of its political attributes and turned into the responsible and at all times revocable agent of the commune. So were the officials of all other branches of the administration. For the members of the commune downwards, their public service had to be done at workmen's wages. The whole of the educational institutions were open to the people gratuitously, and at the same time cleared of all interference of church and state. Thus not only was education made accessible to all, but science itself, freed from the fetters with class prejudice and governmental force, had imposed upon it. The actual social legislation passed by the commune was limited by conditions and the shortness of its life. The measures were largely reformist, taking up demands that had been formulated by the labor movement during the preceding 20 to 30 years. Rents owing for the period of the siege were canceled, but otherwise the rights of private property were not questioned. After much debate, a 3-year delay was granted for payment of outstanding bills. Taken together, these measures shocked bourgeois opinion outside Paris. The commune set up unemployment exchanges in the town halls and abolished night work for bakers in face of the opposition from employers. The most pressing social question facing the commune was that of an unemployment, and they took a radical step of allowing trade unions and worker cooperatives to take over factories not in use in order to start them up again. However, more extreme suggestions that all big factories of the monopolist should be taken over by the workers were rejected. By the 14th of May, 43 producers' cooperatives have been formed among the many craft industries in the city. This first peek at a new world in which the working class became the master of its own destiny was brought to a bloody end by the combined forces of the French and Prussian reaction in late May. As many as 50,000 communards were executed in the days that followed, and many more were imprisoned. But the vision of the commune lives on, inspiring socialists and anarchists of all varieties and all those who seek the abolition of class society and emancipation of the working class.
March 26, 1874, Robert Frost, the American poet, is born. March 26, 1875, German physicist Max Abraham is born. March 26, 1875, Syngman Rhee, the president of South Korea, was born. March 26, 1879, Othmar Amann, Swiss-born bridge engineer, was born. March the 26th, 1881, Dominator Carol I of the Principality of Romania is proclaimed the first king of Romania. March the 26th, 1884, Wilhelm Bachhaus, the German pianist, is born. March 26, 1888, Elisa Brandstrom, Swedish nurse, was born. March the 26th, 1892, Walt Whitman, the American poet, dies. March the 26th, 1902, Cecil Rhodes, English explorer and entrepreneur, dies. March the 26th, 1904, American author Joseph Campbell was born. March the 26th, 1904, Xenophon Zelotis, Prime Minister of Greece, was born. March the 26th, 1905, Viktor Frankl, Austrian neurologist and psychiatrist, was born. March the 26th, 1910, Ah Jung-won, the Japanese assassin of Ito Hirobuni, was executed. March the 26th, 1911, Bernard Kotz, German-born biophysicist and recipient of the Nobel Prize in Physiology of Medicine, was born. March the 26th, 1911, Tennessee Williams was born. March the 26th, 1913, the Balkan War, Bulgarian forces take Adrianople. March the 26th, 1913, Paul Erdős, the Hungarian mathematician, is born. March the 26th, 1914, Japanese educator Toru Kumon was born. March the 26th, 1914, U.S. General William Westmoreland is also born. March the 26th, 1916, Christian B. Anfesen, the American chemist and Nobel laureate, is born. And also March 26, 1916, Sterling Hayden, the American actor, is born. March the 26th, 1917, Rufus Thomas, the American musician, is born. March the 26th, 1917, World War I, the first battle of Gaza. British troops are halted after 17,000 Turks block their advance. March the 26th, 1919, Strother Martin, the American actor, is born. March the 26th, 1920, William Chester Minor, American surgeon and contributor to the Oxford English Dictionary, dies. March the 26th, 1922, the Italian-born physicist Oscar Scala is born. March the 26th, 1923, American comedian Bob Elliott is born. March the 26th, 1923, Sarah Bernhard, the French actress, dies. March the 26th, 1925,
Pierre Boulez, principal guest conductor for the Chicago Symphony Orchestra, is born, and in honor of his birthday. When I first moved to Chicago, I worked for about a year at the CSO. That's the Chicago Symphony Orchestra, to you and me. Now, I don't want anybody to think that I was a cellist or something, you know. People called. I answered the phone. I sold them tickets. It really wasn't, you know, a big deal or a good job, really. And the only real, you know, quote-unquote perk that we received
was that we got to go to this Christmas party at the overpriced restaurant next to Symphony Hall, and you know, it was pretty lame. It was really just all, you know, the lowly plebes like myself and all of our bosses. We had a lot of bosses, by the way. And they were there trying to convince us, trying really hard to convince us that they cared about us and that they were great people, you know, like cool, and they just wanted to hang out with us or whatever. Anyway, about halfway through the night, by which I should say afternoon, there was a slight buzz that kind of went through the room. Boulez is here. Where is he, Boulez? Boulez. Now, at this point in the evening, I mean afternoon, like many of my minimum wage compatriots, I'd had, well, quite a few drinks, and I was feeling, frankly, a little frisky. It was full of whisk confidence, if you know what I'm saying. And I could see Pierre Boulez across the room, and I knew that this would be my only shot to talk to him about the only album that I owned that he was on. I wanted to talk to him about The Perfect Stranger, the album he did conducting Zappa tunes. I turned to make my move, cutting slyly across the center of the room. Suddenly, my boss, Amy, stood right between me and Boulez. She pointed her finger at me and said, "You're not approved to talk to Boulez." How could I not be approved? Who did the approving? And just who does Boulez think he is anyway? It was about at that time that I heard that the open bar was closed. I left. I never got to ask Boulez why he hated Zappa. Anyway, happy birthday, Pierre.
March the 26th, 1929, Catherine Lee Bates, American poet, is born. March the 26th, 1930, Gregory Corso, American poet, is born. And also March the 26th, 1930,
Sandra Day O'Connor is born. Happy birthday, Sandy D. Yep, today is the day. Sandra Day O'Connor, it's your birthday. And if anybody in the judiciary deserves a happy birthday, it's you. I say this as a political junkie and a member of the quote-unquote left. I'm not a lawyer, and I'm only really a casual follower of the highest court in the land. Yet I have nothing but good things to say about you. And this really raises a question in my mind. How did this happen? I mean, you came up through the ranks as a stalwart of Republican politics in Arizona. Still, as you retire, the left loves you. Even though your first court appointment was by a Democrat, you only ascended to the court by an appointment by Ronald Reagan, and yet the court loves you. Your first 10 years on the court, you were barely more than a rubber stamp for the, you know, new conservative coalition, yet the left still loves you. In 2000, all of us on the left hoped that you would rule our way in Bush v. Gore. You didn't, and we all know what that's given us. Yet still, the left loves you. Now, it would be easy for me to say that it's all about abortion rights, but I don't really think that's it. At least not for me. Abortion rights has never really been one of my pet issues. It's, and for you, Sandy D, it's no one issue or ruling. You see, you represent the hope in our American democracy. You are that voice of moderation. Your legacy is that reality, not ideology, is what binds us together. No matter what the issue at hand is, and no matter how entrenched the two opposing sides are, we still have to function together as a government and a country. You understand that our government can not just spout ideologies masquerading as policy. That's truly what we're getting from the current administration, the same flat platitudes over and over again. No matter how many times the president says we're winning in Iraq, that doesn't change the fact that it's still Bush's folly. We would be in a better place if the president took a page out of your playbook, Sandy, and, you know, tried to deal with reality. I have to tell you, Sandy D, I was touched when on your Georgetown speech of March 7th this year, you called out the extremist members in your own party for pitting one branch of government against another. The notion of activist judges, frankly, is a phony issue. The Tom DeLays in the world who decry activist judges and hint that they should be assassinated are really only against judges who are not on their side. They love activist judges if they're conservatives. So, Sandy, thank you for speaking out on this. We are not used to the idea of retired Supreme Court justices, as a lifetime appointment lends itself to dying in office. So, thank you for defining this new role for yourself. So, to answer my original question, Sandra Day O'Connor, the left loves you because you're one of the few rational members of your party. Thanks for being first. Thanks for swimming upstream. Thanks for speaking truth to power. Sandy D., happy birthday. I truly hope you have many more.
March the 26th, 1931. Leonard Nimoy, American actor, director, and photographer, is born. March the 26th, 1933. Eddie Lang, American musician, dies. March the 26th, 1934. Alan Arkin, American actor, is born. Also, March the 26th, 1934, the driving test introduced in the United Kingdom. March the 26th, 1935, Mohammed Abbas, president of the Palestinian National Authority, is born. March the 26th, 1937, in Crystal City, Texas, spinach growers erect a statue of the cartoon character Popeye. March the 26th, 1938, Anthony James Leggett, American physicist and Nobel laureate, is born. March the 26th, 1940, James Caan is born. Also, March the 26th, 1940, Nancy Pelosi, American politician, is born. And also March the 26th, 1940, Spyridon Lewis, the Greek runner, dies. March the 26th, 1942, Erica Jong, the American author, is born. Also March the 26th, 1942, Auschwitz receives its first female prisoners. March the 24th, 1943, Bob Woodward, American journalist, is born. Also on that date, March the 26th, 1943, the Battle of Kamdorsky Islands. In the Aleutian Islands, the battle begins when the United States Navy forces intercept Japanese, attempting to reinforce a garrison at Kiska. March the 26th, 1944, Diana Ross is born. March the 26th, 1945, David Lloyd George, Prime Minister of the UK, dies. March the 26th, 1946, Johnny Crawford, the American actor, is born. March the 26th, 1947, Dar Robinson, American stuntman, is born. March the 26th, 1948, Steven Tyler of the group Aerosmith is born. March the 26th, 1949, Patrick Suskin, the German writer, author, is born. March the 26th, 1949, also Vicki Lawrence, American actress and singer, is born. March the 26th, 1950, Ernest Thomas, the American actor, is born. Also on March the 26th, 1950, the Canadian comedian Martin Short. And on March the 26th, 1950, American singer Teddy Pendergrass is born. March the 26th, 1951, Carl Wineman, American physicist and Nobel laureate, is born. March the 26th, 1953, Elaine Chao, U.S. Secretary of Labor, is born. That same day, March the 26th, 1953, Jonas Salk announces his polio vaccine. March the 26th, 1954, Curtis Sliwa, founder of the Guardian Angels, is born. March the 26th, 1956, Charlie McLean, the American singer, is born. March the 26th, 1957, Lisa Gibbons, American television personality, is born. March the 26th, 1958, Phil Mead, the British cricket player, dies. March the 26th, 1958, the African Regroupment Party is launched at a meeting in Paris. That same date, March the 26th, 1958, the U.S. Army launches Explorer 3. March the 26th, 1959, author Raymond Chandler dies. March the 26th, 1960, Jennifer Grey, American actress, is born. That same date, March the 26th, 1960, Marcus Allen, the American football player, is born. March the 26th, 1961, William Hague, British politician, is born. March the 26th, 1962, John Stockton, American basketball player, is born. March the 26th, 1963, Koyogu Natsuhiko, the Japanese writer, is born. March the 26th, 1964, Martin Donnelly, the Northern Irish race car driver, is born. March the 26th, 1968, James Iha, American musician, member of Smashing Pumpkins, is born. March the 26th, 1968, American singer Kenny Chesney is born. March the 26th, 1969, John Kennedy Toole, the American author of Confederacy of Dunces, commits suicide in New Orleans. March the 26th, 1971, Behzad Ghorbani, the Iranian zoologist and sociobiologist, is born. March the 26th, 1971, East Pakistan declares its independence from Pakistan to the People's Republic of Bangladesh, and Bangladesh Liberation War begins. March the 26th, 1973, Lawrence E. Page, the American internet search engine pioneer, is born. That same day, March the 26th, 1973, Noel Coward, English composer and playwright, dies. Also on that day, March the 26th, 1973, the soap opera The Young and the Restless debuts on CBS television. March the 26th, 1975, a biological weapons convention enters into force. March the 26th, 1976, a dictatorship of terror begins in Argentina as a result of the persecution and the genocide. 30,000 people are murdered. That same day, March the 26th, 1976, Amy Smart, the American actress, is born, and Joseph Albers, the German artist, dies, as does the Chinese writer Lin Yutang. March the 26th, 1977, English soccer player Kevin Davies is born. March the 26th, 1979,
Five AM. President Jimmy Carter receives a wake-up call from the White House signal board operator. 5:39, the president went to the Oval Office. It was a beautiful, crisp, clear, early day in D.C. Decades of violence in the Mideast were to come to an end. 1979 would see the end of a decade of American malaise and look forward to a decade of peace, prosperity, enlightenment. The new America, a nation of diplomacy first, with war only as a final resort. 10 a.m. The president meets Anwar al-Sadat, president of the Arab Republic of Egypt. 10:02. Carter escorts President Sadat to the Oval Office. 10:02 to 10:44. They conduct their meeting. Anwar al-Sadat is vibrant, intelligent, and certainly fearless as he defies the otherwise united Arab front against negotiations with Israel. He glows with optimism, friendship, and only pleasant wishes for the host. This is a new day for the Mideast and the U.S. as they adopt a peaceful normalcy that is previously only acted out by the Dutch and Nordic countries. 11:04, the president escorted Prime Minister of the State of Israel, Menachem Begin, to the Oval Office. 11:10 to 11:55, the president met with Begin, Moshe Dayan, Secretary Vance, and Mr. Brzezinski. Begin is a small, bald man with Coke bottle glasses. A bit out of place next to the wild ear-to-ear grins of Sadat and Carter. His presence looks like it could be a buzzkill for the born-again peaceniks of the U.S. and Egypt team. As an American Jewish kid, I am taught that Sadat is a snake and never to be trusted, and that the Arabs only want to finish off the work started by Hitler. I am fairly certain at the time that this is not entirely the truth, but as an average American, I am never given the Arab side of the question. But at that time, I too was hopeful and find myself admiring Sadat for his bravery and ambition. I also am convinced that with this enormous diplomatic victory, Carter is a slam dunk to be reelected, especially against a former B-movie actor who can't say his name without reading his teleprompter. 12:56, the president returns to the state floor residence. 1:01, the president and the first lady return to the north portico. By an extraordinary coincidence, they meet there the prime minister and Mrs. Begin. 1:04, the presidential party now goes to the red room. 1:05 to 2 o'clock, lunchtime. All three are supposedly deeply religious, or so we are told. By this, I assume they believe a single God is looking down on their good deeds and beautiful garden on the north grounds of the White House. This has always been problematic for me, as I don't understand how one can supposedly be religious and yet advocate violence. Although if there is a God, he or she certainly has caused or at least overseen a great deal of this violence. When faced with such obvious inconsistencies, I often debate the issue internally till I feel myself getting angry, and then I give up. 2:02 to 2:57. The President of the U.S. participated in the signing ceremony for the peace treaty between the Arab Republic of Egypt and the State of Israel. Members of the press are present. 3 o'clock to 8:14, various meetings and with Carter and his wife, they go for a jog and then go meet the Sadats and the Begins. 8:14 to midnight, state dinner, concert given by many Egyptian musicians, Israeli musicians, and an African-American singer, speeches, dancing, and so on. For a list of the president's activities after midnight, see the Daily Diary for March 27th, 1979.
March the 26th, 1981.
On this day in 1981, the Gang of Four launched a new political party in England. These were Social Democrats running against Thatcher, and they promised to, quote, reconcile the nation and, quote, heal divisions between classes. We are going to be free. We will make decisions, but they will be your decisions. Now, Thatcher equals Reagan here. It's not a good comparison, at least in our circles, but you do not want to be Reagan. The Gang of Four described themselves as a left-of-center party and was the first to run in Britain with a one-member, one-vote system for policies and selection. But here's the thing. The Gang of Four was also a group of Communist Party leaders in the People's Republic of China who were arrested and removed from their positions in 1976. Following the death of Mao Zedong, they were blamed for the events of the Cultural Revolution. The removal of this group from power marked the end of the Cultural Revolution, which had been launched by Mao in 1966. A massive media campaign was then launched against them, dubbing them the Gang of Four and blaming them for all the excesses of the Cultural Revolution, and in 1981, the four deposed leaders were subjected to a show trial and convicted of anti-party activities. So as the Cultural Revolution's Gang of Four was being sentenced, the leftist Brits' Gang of Four were taking on the same handle. And to make it even more convoluted, at this same time, the English post-punk band Gang of Four were in full gear. Named after the innovative Maoists, these musicians had scored a huge hit in 1979 and were being boycotted for their song I Love a Man in a Uniform in 1981 due to the Falklands War. Now, there are two other things to take note of on this day in history. The left makes many bad decisions, and even when acting progressively, is massacred by those on the right. The second item of note is that I am suffering from ulcers, but I do not feel like a tourist.
March the 26th, 1982, a groundbreaking ceremony for the Vietnam Veterans Memorial is held in Washington, D.C. March the 26th, 1983, Anthony Blunt, the British spy, dies. March the 26th, 1984, Ahmed Sokou Touré, president of Guinea, dies. March the 26th, 1985, Karen Knightley is born. March the 26th, 1987.
On this day, or sort of month, or, well, okay, in the year, in 1987, in the year, the rock pop super band Genesis had the number 40 album, or number 40 song, that is, on the UK pop charts with Land of Confusion.
March the 26th, 1990, Halston, the American fashion designer, dies. March the 26th, 1995, American rapper Eazy-E dies. March the 26th, 1996, the International Monetary Fund approves a $10.2 billion loan to Russia. March the 26th, 1997, Marshall Applewhite, American cult leader, dies. March the 26th, 1997, 39 bodies are found in the Heaven's Gate cult suicides. March the 26th, 1998, the Oyoud Bayacha massacres in Algeria, 52 people are killed with axes and knives, 32 of them babies under the age of 2. March the 26th, 1999.
70-year-old retired pathologist Jack Kevorkian is convicted of manslaughter for assisting the euthanasia of 52-year-old Thomas Uke. Mr. Uke suffered from Lou Gehrig's disease and is clearly shown on video that was shown later on 60 Minutes, asking the doctor to end his life. The show for 60 Minutes results in a huge spike in ratings for the program during broadcast in November sweeps period. Kevorkian, a longtime euthanasia advocate, compares himself to civil rights heroes like Martin Luther King and Rosa Parks. During the trial, Kevorkian, who acted as his own defense, was not allowed to call the family of the deceased to testify. If called, they would have testified that Uke wanted to die and that the family condoned the mercy killing of the long-suffering terminal patient. The jurors asked for a legal dictionary to help to decipher the legalese of the trial. The judge denies their request. The judge, Jessica Cooper, denies the that the trial is about morality of euthanasia, but is only about defending the law. The prosecutor calls Kevorkian a medical hitman in the night with his big bag of poison. The roughly 30,000 Americans, many terminally ill, that commit suicide every year in America might take issue with that. Although the suicide rate in America is roughly twice that of homicides, the media spends most of its coverage on homicide and virtually none on suicide. In the land of freedom and home of the brave, a suicide is one of the dirtiest secrets. Although the judge insists the trial is only about law, the prosecutor public statements about Kevorkian's conduct during the trial are forbidden by Michigan law, resulting in probably a call for mistrial, which is denied.
March the 26th, 1999, the Melissa worm infects email systems around the world. March the 26th, 2000, presidential elections are held in Russia, and Vladimir Putin is elected. March the 26th, 2001, the final edition of WCW Monday Nitro airs on TNT. March the 26th, 2002, Randy Castillo, drummer for Ozzy Osbourne and Motley Crue, dies. March the 26th, 2003, Daniel Patrick Moynihan, U.S. Senator, dies. Also, March the 26th, 2003, the Supreme Court of the United States hears oral arguments in Lawrence v. Texas. March the 26th, 2004, Jan Barry of Jan and Dean dies. March the 26th, 2005, Paul Hester, Australian drummer for Split Enz and Crowded House, dies. March the 26th, 2006, in Scotland, the prohibition of smoking in all public places comes into effect. You have been listening to This Day in History, Blind Spot. All events chronologically, which have happened on March 26th throughout the years. This program was written by Benjamin Tischer, Brian Taylor, Jacob Christopher, Peter Rosenblum, Eric S. Humphrey. Produced and engineered by Philip Von Zweck. Oh, it was also written by Jerry Mead. It was performed by Red Jerry Mead, Eric S. Humphrey, Brian Taylor, Peter Rosenblum, Jacob Christopher, and myself, Philip Von Zweck. Each week, Blind Spot presents a unique work live to air here on WLUW 88.7 that attempts to explore the possibilities of radio. For more information about Blind Spot programs, including MP3s, photos, and stuff on upcoming shows, please visit our website at www.stopgostop.com/blindspot. Tune in next week at 10 for This Is Your Life, John Wanzel, on Blind Spot.